Welcome to Recurring Nightmares, episode 53. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And this episode has been a long time coming. It feels like a lifetime ago I assigned these two serial killer movies, and we just had some delays. I was under the weather last week, so didn't really feel like recording. I wanted to give you the best of what I could give you. So here we are, way late into the month. I'll try to do a quick turnaround with your picks for next month so we could hopefully get back on track.
Yeah, but, I think we should be good. We'll be fine.
And so yeah, I was already alluded to, we're doing two serial killer movies that I picked out. They are Long Legs and Memories of Murder. We will get to those in the second half of the show. But as always, we talk about what we've been watching. And I know it's been a lot because it's like you and I have just been busy watching movies. And yeah, we've seen a lot. I'll try not to be too long-winded about it, but kick it to you. What have you been watching?
Yeah, same. Just try and like keep them short. But yeah, went and saw Alien Romulus. The 47th Alien movie. I don't know what number it is. There's a lot of them.
It depends which ones you count.
Yeah, that's true. Because Ridley Scott does not consider basically anything that happens after his film to have existed. So, and then there's like aliens and all that. Anyway, Alien Romulus is Ridley Scott. It's a Ridley Scott production. He did not direct it. Fede Alvarez did. Fede Alvarez might know from, I think he did the Evil Dead, the Rising, maybe. I think that was
he did the remake, the one from like a decade ago.
Okay, the remake.
Okay. Evil Dead, yeah.
The Don't Breathe movies. He's been out there. I thought he did that new one, but not him. So anyway, Alien Romulus, an alien movie. For the most part, pretty decent. I think both you and I, Jeff, agree that they do some weird things. Like there are some callbacks and direct lines that are cribbed from other alien films.
That was the main
don't necessarily fit.
That was the main sore point for me. I honestly think the movie is like really intense and exciting, yeah. and I generally had fun. And people, but like, boy, even more so than the they use the digital likeness or you know the likeness of a dead actor in it. That, you know, depending on where you fall on that, could be a big problem, especially with how big of a character they make it. Yeah. But for me, it was these lines that are just like, why are you saying the lines from the other movie? Like, it's too much fan service when. You already had me. Like, this was a gripping, you know, alien chapter, and they did some creative stuff with it. Why are we repeating lines? I don't know.
Yeah, especially like lines that haven't happened yet. there's one in particular that is a very famous line from Ripley in Aliens, and so somebody utters that here, and it doesn't really work. In the same way.
Dude, just it landed
seems goofy and corny.
It landed with a thud in my theater.
Yeah. I saw it with some friends and they were just like, why? That was like the one thing that they didn't like about it. So
same. Otherwise, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, the face huggers are fucking terrifying in this. Like maybe the creepiest fucking face. Because they throw like a ton of them at you. And they're being chased by them down like this derelict space station hallway. It's nightmarish, them chasing after them. And they get like right up on you. Like in the past, you don't really get like a good close up scene of it trying to get into your mouth. And like they do some nasty ass shit here. So pretty good.
Them and the alien blood, they did some creative stuff with.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know. It's been out a while, so I kind of say it. Like, there's, like, kind of a final boss to this, which I liked. I thought it was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it mostly works for the most part.
The most brutal takedown that I saw of it on Twitter was a lot of people are saying this is the Rogue One of, you know, of alien movies. I say it's the Star Tours of alien movies, which if you guys don't know, that's the Disney ride of Star Wars. I could see where people come with it, but I thought it was a fun ride. That said,
yeah, so. It was fun. You know, it gets kind of back to basics, like Ridley Scott. I enjoy Prometheus and Covenant, but they get a little up their own ass with the lore that Scott has like tried to inject into it, and this just kind of gets back to basics, like it's nightmare on a space station. It's good stuff.
Yep.
So saw that. Then I also saw Cuckoo. With Hunter Schafer. It's really hard to fucking explain what this movie is.
I would agree.
A girl. She is with her dad and her stepmom, and they go to Switzerland or something.
Alps,
somewhere in the Alps, foreign country. She is she's a stranger here, and she doesn't want to be there. Her mom has died, that's why she's here, and weird shit starts to happen, and nobody kind of believes her about it. I actually really like the reveal that happens in this. I thought it was pretty cool. I liked the whole movie, actually. I thought it was really a fun film, so. I don't want to kind of spoil it, but it's a decent thriller, I think.
I watched it last year, and really? it's hard to explain it, but like I just did not work for me. And honestly, I was just kind of like, what is going on? Like, I get kind of what's going on, but also like I thought it was really clumsy and explaining it and making you care, at least for me. I just could not.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Like, why do you care about these outside of her? Like, why do you care about any of these characters?
Yeah.
Because they're not like
there is.
I thought the reveal, I thought like what it was happening was pretty neat though. So
it worked for me. Didn't care for it, but I do like Dan Stevens hamming it up. But then again, if you want to see Dan Stevens hamming it up, I would just say watch Abigail from earlier this year.
Yeah, that was
more fun than this.
So that's Cuckoo. I also saw Blink Twice, the directorial debut of Zoe Kravitz, starring Channing Tatum. I really like this one. It is another one that are like the how the reveal works for you is where it's gonna, some people are gonna be really fucking repulsed by it.
I know what it is, but yeah.
Yeah. And I think that, I mean, I don't know, maybe people like, I thought the acting was good and I thought it was fun. I think the climax of it is like satisfying. It's these people that are, it's this really rich guy, like think Mark Zuckerberg or Elon Musk or somebody like that. They bought an island. They go to this retreat. They bring other people, their friends, sometimes like not friends, just like random people that they pick up along the way. They all go, no cell phones, no, like no TV, nothing. Like they're just out there on this island, like vibing, getting drunk, doing drugs. Things start happening. You start questioning what's happening in the film, and it kind of goes where you think rich fuckers would take it. I thought it really worked, and I thought the ending really worked, but I know that some people are not enjoying it at all, so.
I've heard it both ways. I've heard people really like it, like you, and I've heard people really dislike it. I have a feeling I will probably like it, but I have not seen it yet because it's still like a. I guess it's probably still on.
Yeah, I think it might still be in theaters. It's like I wouldn't rent it for $20. Like I went my Stubbs membership, but I liked that one. Thought it was a good time.
How was her directing? Good.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think she has, like, you've seen this type of, like, film before, right? Like,
yeah. No,
And, like, there's nothing, it's like, oh, like, she's, like, really knocking it out of the park. Like, you know, she has her, she is a star. She is, she is Hollywood royalty. Her dad's fucking Lenny Kravitz. She can pull star power, and she does here. Like, she pulls people. Like, Channing Tatum's in it. I think it, Christian Slater. There are people you know in this film. So, like, they give the performances you expect from them. I can't be like, oh, that was definitely her directing. Like, I don't know. Channing Tatum is rarely bad. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, I think we probably have to see, like, another film from her to kind of see, like, oh, that, okay, that is the style she's going with. Like, it didn't seem like, you know, if you weren't like, oh, this is Zoe Kravitz movie, I'd be like, okay, it's anybody.
Yeah.
Speaking of somebody that has a style, though, me and the other Kevin Smith fans went and saw his movie this weekend, all like 412 of us. the 430 movie, which is a teenage kind of, not really want to say coming of age story, but it's like a teenage love comedy type thing. He loves movies. I think the guy Brian, who the main character is, I think he is modeled after Smith himself. Just somebody that loved going to the movies. Like, that's how he sees things through the world, is through movies. And he invites this girl to the 4:30 movie. And it's like the mayhem that goes around them trying to go to this movie. Because, like, I don't know if younger people understand, but, like, you know, I think people our age know, like, you would go to a movie. Sometimes you, like, they would not sell you a ticket to an R-rated movie. So you'd buy a ticket to another movie and you'd sneak into the R-rated movie.
Mm-hmm.
Or you'd buy a ticket to a movie, and then after your movie was done, you'd go into another movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of that setup is, like, they're sneaking around the theater trying to get in, you know, trying to get into the R-rated movie, or see more movies after they've only paid for the one. Ken Jeong, I think that's the name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He plays the theater owner. He's actually really good in it. And then the other two, the main lead, Austin Zazier, who plays Brian, he's pretty good. And Sienna Agudong, she plays Melody. They're the two teen leads in it. I think they both are pretty good. I think the other two kids that are Brian's friends, I think they're maybe less great, but they're fine. The one thing I will say, that this says it has a runtime of an hour and 28 minutes. I feel it's actually much shorter than that. And he pads it a lot.
Like, fake trailers and stuff.
Yeah, there are two fake trailers. They're fun. They're kind of a grindhousey, like, except comedic. One where he's been throwing his daughter into a bunch of these movies that he's been doing. And it's this, like, killer nun who's also a hooker. Like, during the day she's a nun, it's all, like, happy-go-lucky, she's helping kids and the poor people, and then at night to help the church she's, like, a prostitute, and she ends up killing Jason Mewes, who's called the John. it's a funny trailer. It's stupid, but it's a funny trailer. It's 90 seconds, 120 seconds long. If he tries to, like, make that into a real movie, I don't think that's a good idea. But it was funny. And he actually has, like, another movie. I think it's called Astro Blaster. It's terrible. In it, when, like, you keep seeing scenes of this movie as the kids are in the theater talking and other stuff is happening, but you get occasional scenes of this sci-fi kind of Buck Rogers, Flash Gordon type sci-fi film called Astro Blaster. It's absolutely awful, but in a funny way. I think it's good. It's not great. I think it is better than some of his, you know, after Tusk, I think he went a little bit off the rails. He got a little bit back with Clerks 3, which I don't think is great, but it, like, there's a lot of heart there. Yeah. This is a better movie, I think, than Clerks 3. But it's also very, very short. Like, he had maybe 60 minutes of film here, and he pads it out with some nonsense.
Yeah, yeah, I kind of, I've heard that from, I was like, Gearbox reviews and shit. You know what's funny? As I watched, like a year ago, I watched Zach and Mary Make a Porno. That was like really good.
Yes.
And he was like getting better as a filmmaker, and it just seems like he forgot how to make movies. Like, I don't know what's going on with him.
So but,
I am interested in this.
He did Zach and Mary. Which I think I agree with you. I think it's a good film. But then he did Cop Out, I think, was his next film after that. And that I think destroyed him. Like,
I think Zach and Mary too, because he thought it was, he's like, oh, I'm going to be, this is going to be as big as an Apatow movie. And it just wasn't. It did good. Yeah. It probably did the best of any of his movies ever did in the box office, but it just wasn't what they were expecting. And that like hurt him too. But like, dude, I don't know what he's like. He's never been like a great, but like, geez, man, like it's gone off the rails a little bit. But this did look fun to me. Like, yeah. I saw a trailer. I was like, this is sweet. It's nice to see him like just doing something outside of the like, you know, usual shit. Although, and this is very much like, it's like he saw The Fablemans and it was like, I want to do that for me. Like what it was like for me getting into film.
Yeah,
but that sounds cool to me.
And I don't want to spoil anything, but if you watch the film, don't shut it off right when the credits start. Wait about a minute. He does. There's actually a pretty good joke about how, you know, because this takes place in like 1986 or something like that. They had just seen Top Gun, and he's talking about like, oh, you know. Stingers or whatever after the trailer, and like they're going, that was in one movie and it's never gonna catch on.
Yeah,
no one's ever gonna do that again. So they have like a funny bit about that, and then he does a stinger after it, and it ties to other things that he's done in the past. I think it's a sweet film. I don't think it's great, but I enjoyed my time with it. Which was
you're just short. We're Kevin Smith lifers here.
Yeah, I will go see anything he does, like, but we'll criticize it, right? Like Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, I did not find enjoyable at all. I think Yoga Hosers is an absolute trash film. Like, yeah. It is terrible. I don't think Cop Out's a good film. I think, you know, when he is reined in a little bit. Is when he's at his best, and I think this somebody reined him in here, and he does a pretty good job with it. So that's it for me, Jeff. What have you been watching?
I will give you the cream of the crop first, and that is a new movie on Netflix called Rebel Ridge.
Okay,
this is from Isonier, who did Blue Ruin and Green Room. I think we were both fans of Green Room. I mean, I love Green Room.
Yeah.
I will watch anything that this director does. This is his new film. It's on Netflix. It is a very smart update on First Blood. It is taking the basic premise of what First Blood is and like updating it for today. A black guy is riding his bike through a small town. He's got a backpack full of money because he's going to bail out his cousin who got pinched for weed.
Mm-hmm.
And he runs into these small town cops. And, you know, if you've seen First Blood, you can kind of guess where it goes to from there. It Now, if you see the trailer, it looks like a dumb action movie. Not that. Like, it is very smart. It's like a kind of edge of your seat. Like, at least I was on the edge of my seat, but slowly building thriller that kind of builds through dialogue more than anything, and more than violence. And it's political without like being annoying about it. It's just like part of the plot makes it political, and it is talking about real things that are in the world. People might be surprised and not even know that these, you know, that the cops could seize your property evidence. You know, like, that's a real thing. And the movie, you know, just makes that part of the plot. And it's very, like, specific politics. It's not all cops are bastards. It's this is how a small town police force could be corrupted. Like, these are the blocks that would be put in place to corrupt this police force. And it's very believable, I think. But then it does eventually get to the shit blown up and, you know, bullets flying. And the action is very thrilling. And the action has a really neat twist to it, which I don't want to spoil here. I think when you see it, you'll know what I'm talking about. But I just found it to be a nice, refreshing surprise to the action.
Okay.
That I did not know going in, so I don't want to spoil that for people who have not seen it yet. The movie's doing great on Netflix, and it seems like everybody really loves it, except for my friend Nelson. He did not like it, but he's like literally the only person I've seen who hasn't. So it's a big, easy recommend for me.
Okay.
What else? Another small one that I enjoyed that I want to bring up. And this is, it's called Oddity. It was in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, you saw the trailer for this in the theater, because I know I saw the trailer for it. But nobody I've talked to, it's been like memory hold. Like, I don't remember a trailer for a movie called Oddity. I'm like, I'm telling you, you saw it, because you go to the movies more than me, you've seen it. And in the trailer, they show, like, it's like this lady at this in this house at night, and like this stranger knocks on her door. And he's like, you got to let me in. And she's like, fuck no. He's like, no, someone followed you to your house. There's a man in the house with you. You got to let me in. Like, I'm trying to save you, to protect you, you know?
Right. Got it.
So I don't know if that like rings a bell for you, but that I remember that from the trailer, and I don't really want to give away much else, but like, it is, you know, based on reading reviews and stuff, I saw that it was kind of inspired by EC Comics, which I never read those because I'm not that old, but you know, knowing Creepshow was kind of like a love letter to EC Comics. I could totally see that here. This is like an hour and a half Creepshow episode. Absolutely. And actually, like, you know, knowing that, when I think about it, like, the final shot of the film, I'm like, that would be the perfect final, like, panel on a comic book. It's just so neat. But this is a fun little creepy little Creepshow like story. I just don't want to say too much about it, because I think it's another one where it's like, being kind of surprised, like, honestly, like, you know, 10, 15 minutes in, I kind of called what was going to happen. So I feel like if I say anything here, I'm down that path.
Kind of be spoiling.
Yeah. But even though I like called what was happening, I was like, oh, this is going to be fun to see. And it was fun. It's a good movie. That is actually, you know, it's for rental now, but it is coming to Shudder at the end of the month. I did not know that, but by the end of September, it'll be on Shudder.
Okay, no, I might just wait it out. September.
Yeah, no, it's not like, yeah, it's not. You need to see this today, but when it gets Shudder, definitely recommend. I think you will enjoy it. I saw a movie called Strange Darling, Chris.
Yes, I saw this one too. I left it off my list, so let's talk about it.
Just a really awesome thriller that kind of came out of nowhere and kind of got the buzz, like, you know, people when it came out. I think deservedly so. I don't want to say this is another one where this one, you know, what was so fun about this movie for me? I just knew that there was buzz about it. I had never seen a trailer.
I knew nothing about it. And so I just went in.
I think it is one of those things that you just, in fact, in my like little Twitter review, I was like, I'd recommend not looking into it further and just watch it. Like, because the structure is different and what you like, you just need to let it flow because it starts out one way. You're like, okay, this makes sense.
Yeah.
This is what type of film it is. And then it flips a couple times.
This is another one. I think I've seen too many movies at this point because I was like, oh, I see what we're doing. Like, I definitely figured out where we were going before it got there. But it was still so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
This would be fitting for this episode because this is another serial killer movie. And I'll just say it did two things right off the bat that really, like, all right, I'm in. I love this. First off, at the beginning, it proudly announces that it was all shot. Like, this film is entirely shot on 35mm. I was like, fuck yeah, cool, man. And then it does, like, a Texas Chainsaw Massacre-style, like, text scroll at the beginning. Like, very, like, the narrator almost sounds like the dude from Texas Chainsaw
Massacre. Yes.
I was just like, is that him? I always about to look that up, but I did not.
Seemed very purposeful.
It's like you're just like hitting every button for me. But yeah, I think you and I, just like everyone else, really enjoyed Strange Darling. I actually wouldn't mind seeing that again when it comes out on video. But I guess I'll say one more thing, even though I don't really care about it. But I saw Beetlejuice.
Okay. I thought about it.
You thought about it?
Yeah.
Look, I have no like connection or love for the first Beetlejuice. I remember I saw it as a kid. I think I liked it as a kid, but I think it also made me mad. This isn't scary. This isn't like a horror movie. I'm already like a huge horror movie person, and for whatever reason, I expected that to be a horror movie. I left Beetlejuice in the '80s. I have not watched it since. I did not rewatch it to go see this. I only went to go see this because my wife wanted to, for whatever reason. And I thought it was actually okay. It was pretty good. It doesn't have much of a plot. Like, the plot doesn't kick in to, like, I don't know, man, like the last fucking, let's say, half hour.
Okay.
Fun and entertaining until then. I think older goth Winona Ryder is super cute. And there's nice horror movie references in it. Like at one point, like, do you remember, like, you know, at the end of Carrie when they have the big jump scare where, like, she's like walking down the street and she comes upon Carrie's grave and her hand pops out.
Yeah.
There's a part in this where they play that the exact scene in Carrie. And I was like, they're doing the Carrie music. Like, just so there's like little, like, if you know, could easily miss if you have not seen Carrie in forever. There's a bunch of little stuff like that. There's like homages to Mario Bava. So lots of like fun kind of horror movie references, as well as like kind of a Halloween atmosphere to the whole. I gotta be honest, I didn't hate it. Like, I fully expected to be like, fuck this. You know, I'm not a huge Tim Burton guy, but I kind of liked it. I actually really did. So.
Cool. I might check that. I don't think I'll run out to the theater to see it, but I might check it out when it finally hits a streaming service or something.
Yeah. I think you'll have a okay time with it. And again, are you a big fan of the original?
I don't love Burton. Neither. Beetlejuice is fine. I actually, my memory of it is a little more recent, only because, they did a production at my kids' recital, and I helped with like stage stuff, and they ran. Okay. They did some stuff with the movie, like where they showed scenes from the movie to kind of set things up, and then they played like a lot of the audio instead of having the kids actually act it out. But I got the gist of it. Like,
yeah.
I know what Beetlejuice is. I had pretty much forgotten about it completely. I had forgotten that the people died in the beginning. Like,
yeah, I couldn't tell you anything of the plot of the original, and I was able to enjoy this. So,
yeah, I remember Winona Ryder was like the she was like the main character. Like she was the kid that kind of could talk to the ghosts, and Beetlejuice wanted to marry her, which was super creepy even back then. But that's all I remember.
Hey, let me know when you see it. We'll talk about it. Yeah. But I thought it was fine. Let's do our movies. Let's do our serial killer movies.
Let's do it.
Let's start with Memories of Murder.
수사밥도 먹는 거고 내가 다른 거 몰라도 이 사람 보는 눈은 있다는 거 아니야?
This film is written and directed by Bong Joon-ho, who everybody knows now because he won the Best Picture Oscar for Parasite a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of like got people to like reassess his filmography and like all sorts of stuff. Like I think he did that one, The Host. He did that one on The Train.
He did The Host. He did Snowpiercer.
Yes, Snowpiercer.
Okja is the other one that I think people probably would know him by. So that was a big Netflix film.
He's a revered director now. Because of Parasite, people kind of like went back and looked at all his stuff. This was very early on in his career. And interestingly, like it is like pretty widely regarded as a masterpiece. If you look on the Wikipedia, it even says it is widely regarded as one of the best films of the 21st century, which is weird because I don't think it got much notice here until after Parasite came out. I don't even know if it was released here initially. You look at the Wikipedia, it says, you know, it came out in South Korea May 2nd, 2003. Had a budget of $2.8 million. It's showing a U.S. box office of $12 million, but I don't know. That might just be U.S. dollars.
Yeah, again, it could just be U.S. dollars, though.
But after, you know, he got his props at the Oscars, you know, Criterion kind of like re-released this movie, and now a wider audience has seen it. Yeah, widely regarded as a masterpiece. And what this thing is it's about a group of detectives who are investigating South Korea's first like serial killer in the 80s. It's loosely based on, you know, a real serial killer that did happen around that time, but it's not like trying to do like a factual, like this is what happened. It's just kind of inspired by that.
Yeah.
Interestingly, well, after the movie came out, they did solve the murder, and it was a guy, like when they you know, they solved it through DNA. It was a guy who was already in prison, I think, for killing his sister-in-law. He was like already served, but they got him to confess to like 14 other murders. None of this is relevant to this movie though, because this is one of those movies where it's not really about the. It's more about the toll that chasing a serial killer takes on the, you know, the detectives who are trying to solve the case, much like Zodiac from David Fincher, which came out a few years after this. I think Zodiac's a better movie, and we will get into why that is probably right now. I think for me. I don't consider this a masterpiece. There's things I really like about it, but I have them for me. But I guess before we get to the plot, I guess what do you think of Memories of Murder? Like,
yeah, I think we're going to end up pretty much on the same page here. I think there are good things about it. I also think there are there are some weird tonal shifts in this that I don't think quite work. I kind of wish that they had focused a little more on the, and I know you're exactly what you said is right. Like, it's about the cops and the detectives that are following this, and it's like, you know, about them and how it works on them. But I kind of wish there was a little more like actual detective work, because a lot of times they're just like fucking around and joking, and it's like, all right, that's great, but I don't really care about, like, I care about the murder. Like, show me the murder.
Look, the Memories of Murder and our next film are both kind of grim movies, but they both have humor in them. Like, Long Legs has humor in it as well. Here, though, the humor, like, just in my opinion, it ruins the tone of the movie. Like, it's taking something that should be kind of like the movie Seven and, like, injecting this humor that, honestly, it just makes them feeling idiots. Like, yes. I did not like these guys.
Like, the main, I mean, there's two. There's, like, three cops that are known, but there's, like, two main ones. And the one is, like, the small-town detective. Like, he's there. And then they bring this other guy in from Seoul. He's like the big city cop that's coming to help. And there's like this weird competition, which I think would probably happen, right? Like a fed gets attached to a case, and like the other cop, who seems like he's competent, all of a sudden just starts acting like a buffoon and trying to like undermine this fed cop. And sometimes it's like done for comedic effect. And sometimes it's just like, you're not the idiot that you're playing here. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, it's just like our main guy, he's just like, his thing is, I could just look at someone and tell, like, it's like, okay. And so then this other guy comes in, he's supposed to be more, like you said, like the big city, like more experienced detective. And meanwhile, they're just completely inept. Like, they're completely cannot figure out how to. The way this type of movie works is if someone is really smart and they're like trying to figure out who the serial killer is, running into dead ends. But here it's like they're just buffoonery.
Yes.
Like, and very early on, they made me dislike them because they're beating the shit out of this mentally challenged kid throughout the fucking movie. Like, torturing someone who is innocent because they think he might be the killer. And it's just, I didn't hate the movie, but that kind of ruined how I felt about these characters. I was just like, fuck these guys, you know?
Yeah, and like that wasn't the, so like they have like this weird room, like it's like this weird police torture room that they, you know, they're holding this guy upside down. Sometimes they have him like tied to a chair. And the other detective, like, he's not privy to it at first, but then he just like kind of walks in, sees what's going on, and goes, no, like, we got to go elsewhere. Like, you see them torturing this dude, like,
yeah, you're
just as shitty.
Yes. But anyways, the movie follows their investigation. And, you know, there's certain things that like they notice a pattern. Like, it's always a rainy night, right? The victim is always wearing a red clothing or red dress. There seems to be someone who calls and requests a certain song be played on, you know, they call the local DJ and request a certain song to be played every time there's one of these murders. And it all just kind of leads to dead ends. You know what I mean? Like, everything just falls apart throughout. Like, it's never solved, right?
Yes. Like, even at the end of the film, like, they have not solved it. They've moved on. Like, they do a time jump.
Which is fine. That's how Zodiac is. And that movie, I think Zodiac is a pretty brilliant movie. And it's about that. It's about how, like, man, you almost have, you know what is I think a really good example of this that most people have not seen is in 3. It's the same idea as this or Zodiac. They figure out who the guy is who's calling in to
the radio station.
But I think they are never able to fully investigate him because I think he gets killed, or I can't even remember.
No, so they one, I think we should just circle back a little bit. The most competent cop here is, she's not a detective. She's just like the coffee girl. Like, she's the one that comes up with the theory that, like, you know, it's, there's always this song playing, and you know, the guy calls in and dedicates it to on a rainy night. And, like, she's the one that kind of, she chases that piece down, and they're all dismissive of it. And it's like actually the one thing that maybe points them in the right direction.
But I think,
go ahead.
I think that the guy, they find the guy, but he's just like, they think he's not the guy, right? Something like that. Like,
so they think he's like a weirdo, and I think it's probably accurate, but they like get his DNA and send it off to America. And, the DNA does, like, it comes back at the end. Like, it does not match. And
I thought that said that, the DNA of the mentally challenged kid.
I thought, no, I think it's the weird, creepy dude.
Oh, whatever. In my defense, I saw this, like, almost 2 months ago at this point. There's one point they find a guy jacking off at one of the crime scenes, and for a minute they think it's him, but it just, you know, it was just a random coincidence that he was there. He just likes to go jerk off in the, like, on his break. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, he left his work, which was not too far away, and he walks out into a field and, like, just gonna whack off out there.
But at the end, they're like almost ready to kill this, I think, is the suspect, right before they find out that, like, doesn't, like, one of the cops run and be like, hey, no, he's not the guy, we got the DNA test back, right? And they still almost kill this guy. And then they let him go, and that's kind of the end of the movie, right? And then there's, like, one more scene after that. Like, I honestly, like, what kind of saves this movie, for me anyways, and let's see what you have to say, is this, like, last 10 minutes? There's just so many awesome shots, like when they're attacking this guy on the train tracks. Just really cool shots. And then some really cool shots at the end. And I like the idea of the ending where we get to see it. It's, you know, present day as of the film. So it's like 2003 or something now, like many years later. Yeah. And you can see the cop, he's just a regular old salesman. They're like off, you know, doing some sales shit. But he drives past where they found the first victim, and he's like, you know, pull over, get out. And he goes over, and he's like, look at this little, like, drainage pipe or whatever, where they found this girl. Some really cool shots here, and I like the idea of how by this case. And then there's a little girl comes up to him and tells him, you know, she's like, what are you looking at or whatever? And, you know, she's like, it's weird. Someone else came by here recently, and he said he was, like, remembering something he did here a long time ago. And, you know, dude's like, oh, shit. Because it's obviously had to be the serial killer, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, what do you look like? She's like, just look like anybody, like, normal. And that's kind of the end of the movie. And I thought, again, so many cool shots in the last 10 minutes. I thought a cool, like, haunting ending, and it kind of, like, sent a little chill up my spine. And she's like, there's a guy here, you know.
I think from, like, there's a thing that happens where the other cop, the third cop, he has to have his leg amputated. And, like, from that moment, like, where it kind of gets a little bit more serious from that point on, and I think it's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And, like, it hits the tone that you expect here. And I think the ending is really, like, it's really haunting. Like, shit. Like, we weren't able to catch them. And all this time we were chasing after people that probably weren't them.
And he's still out there, and he's, you know, just missed him again type thing. Like, I don't know. I it redeemed the movie for me. And it made me see, like, what people could see in this movie. But, like, It's too comedic before the end. It's too, not just comedic, like, I just felt these cops were fucking stupid and cruel. So, like, I don't know. I didn't love the movie because of that.
Yeah, it's the tonal shifts, I don't think, work. And this is a long movie. Like, it's over 2 hours long.
Yeah.
And it feels it because like you don't want to be with these cops because they're buffoons. Yeah. They're joking around, and it's not like they're not like joking around. Haha, this is funny. Like it's just like they're clowns. Like they're bad cops doing bad cop things, and they're not investigating it the way that you would expect such a high profile serial killer to be investigated. And I think it does bring it down a little bit until the ending, like where it gets a little bit more serious.
Yeah. Yeah. I fully expected to like this more than I did. What are your final thoughts on this?
Yeah. I don't subscribe to the, this is a masterpiece. One of the best films of the 21st century. I'm not on board with that. I think it is. It's fine. I don't think I would ever, you know, watch this one again. There are much better, noir crime thrillers, detective serial killer films out there, than to kind of like spend time with this one. If you are really interested in, you know, Bong Joon-ho, maybe that's, you know, this, you want to get through his filmography. That's cool. But otherwise I can't really recommend this one.
Or
I think 5 out of 10.
Okay. I'm not as mean about it as you. Like, again, I think it did at the end, but it just, my expectations were set in such a way that it did not deliver on until like the last 10 minutes. And I don't see me watching this. It's just too much of a chore. I'll go 6.5.
Okay.
And our other movie for this episode is a brand new film from 2024 that is Long Legs.
Is it scary being a lady FBI agent?
Yeah.
Take a nice long look. A letter was left with the bodies. Signed with one word.
A beast rise up out of the sea with 7 heads and 10 horns. And on his horns he wore 10 crowns. And on each head was written a blasphemous name.
What aren't you telling me?
He'll kill and kill again.
I know you're not afraid of a little bit of dark.
Do you still say your prayers? Never once. They scared me. Hello?
You could have made nice with me. But you didn't. And that has led to all.
It is written and directed by Osgood Perkins. Do you know this director? You know anything about him?
No idea who he is.
He is Anthony Perkins' son.
Okay.
So his dad, as I understand it, he lost his dad to AIDS, and he lost his mom in 9/11. And And he has made a series of horror movies that I actually really good. So he did a movie called The Black Coat's Daughter, which I would call like a sister movie to this movie. It's okay. I almost like would say it's the same universe, and like they just fit together really well. He also did Gretel and Hansel, which nobody seemed to like, but I did. It's really stylish and moody.
Mm-hmm.
And now he did this serial killer movie, Long Legs, which came out July 12th of 2024. Had a budget of around $10 million, I guess. And it's done pretty good. It's, you know, done over $100 million box office. It's one of the most successful independent movies of the year. It's actually one of the big success stories of the summer, which is really surprising to me because this is like pretty dark. And
it is a dark, this, weird movie.
Yeah, it is. I'm like, if I describe the plot to you, it's going to sound super silly because it is, but the way Perkins directs it, it's so moody and atmospheric, and it becomes unnerving. I don't know. Like, would you agree with that or no?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, did you actually think about the plot after, like, that's kind of silly?
I mean, the silly part, I think, is like the supernatural element that he adds to it.
Yeah.
But outside of that, like, yes, Nicolas Cage as Long Legs, is a bit goofy, and you'd think that they would have caught this motherfucker so much quicker. He looks like he might commit crimes.
Yeah.
Of this nature. So weird that they hadn't done it, but otherwise I think it's a pretty good procedural. Like,
they smartly use Nicolas Cage as the killer in this, who goes by Long Legs. Like, I think he's not in a ton. It's like just enough, like just the right amount. I think if you put him in too much of the movie, he would also start to come off as silly. In part because of how he looks. Like, I don't know. It's a
absolutely,
it's a
choice. Absurd. Yes, he looks absurd.
But I guess there's a few things I want to talk about near the beginning of the movie because I think they illustrate certain things. So, like, the very opening of this movie takes past, and it's Long Legs rolling up in a station wagon to this little girl's house, and he approaches her, and he's like, oh, it's the almost birthday girl. You know, he's like talking to her, and I want to talk about the scene because of how it makes, like, Perkins' choices in directing make it unsettling. Because you see him from like the shoulders down, like you don't see Nicolas Cage's face. Like, you just hear him talking to her.
Yeah, it's a really weird, it's like very camera angle.
Yeah, And he's like, oh, it looks like I wore my long legs today. He's like, what if I? And then he just like kneels down. You get to see his face for like a half a second. And then it cuts away and goes to the opening credits. And it's just like, it's startling and like, whoa, like, it's like a little scare. And then like, I just thought it was really smart how he like, how he did not show him. And just, you just get a brief glimpse of what his face looks like. You're like, what the fuck was that? We don't know this at you don't know the movie, but the little girl in the beginning is our main character, played by Micah Monroe. She is FBI agent Lee Harker.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about the kind of like the opening scene with her, because I had heard that there was a supernatural element. And when we get to her first scene, it's like they're investigating like an unrelated to Long Legs, like serial killer type thing. I think they're going around this neighborhood asking questions, and she just like zeroes in on this house, and she's like, no, it's that address, that's where the guy is. And she's like, we should call for backup, and like, that's where he's gonna be. And the dude's like, how do you know this? You know what I mean? Like, her partner's like, and she's just like, I just do. And he's like, I'm not calling backup on him. She's like, check the place out. He walks up to the front door, rings the doorbell, gets his fucking head blown up.
It is immediately
yeah,
like unhinged, like holy shit, like I was not expecting that to happen in the first 5 minutes of this movie.
The FBI determines they start testing her after that because they're like, how did you know this? You have some sort of strong intuition. So like she is like partly psychic, right? Like, and I was like, oh, so that, you know what I mean? Right. Having heard going in that like that there was a supernatural element, I'm like, oh, that's it. But no, it's much more than that. You want to just get into like what is going on here?
Yeah.
We come to find out that Nicolas Cage, Long Legs, is like a Satan worshiper. He is somehow putting like the essence of Satan or some demon or whatever the fuck into these little metal balls. Putting the balls inside of these like life-size dolls that are creepy as fuck looking. And getting them into people's homes. Oh, I get the mode of like the serial killer, which I thought was really interesting and draws you in early on. Which is they keep finding these like these family annihilator situations keep happening.
Yes.
And
these murder suicides that keep, yeah, like, and that's what she's investigating.
Yeah, a dad will go crazy and kill his whole family. You know, these things happen across different years and places, and can't figure out what the connection of it is, except they know that somehow there is like a killer who is forcing this to happen because he keeps leaving notes and signing them long legs at the scene of these crimes. And so like they're just completely confused as to how to,
and there's no evidence that he is in the house.
Yes, it's just like, so then I'm skipping ahead now back to like the big reveals near the end. Is like he's getting these dolls with this essence of evil inside of them into like normal, like kind of church going houses. And what, you know, once they're under the influence of the doll, the dad just murders the entire family. So again, sounds silly, but the movie is done so well. Like, and plus you're just intrigued early on because you're like, how is this happening? You know, and it is completely, totally supernatural and crazy. But I keep asserting it, but like Perkins, the way he does it, dude, and just a very, you hear 911 calls, these shots of crimes and stuff like that. But there is some humor. There's one part like, I figured out an algorithm. She's working with this other detective. I can't remember the other detective's name. But she tells him, like, I figured out this algorithm. He's like, keep explaining. Like, he doesn't know what the fuck. There's a part near the end, and I'm all over the place here. I guess this will work better if you've seen the movie, which you should if you're listening to this. Near the end, and I knew this was coming as soon as they introduced the concept that her partner had a family. I'm like, I know where this is going. He's going to end up being like the last victim of Long Legs. She shows up too late. Like the family's been influenced, and the father's like, let's go in the kitchen, honey. And she's like, all right, we'll be right back. He's like, no, I will be right back. I'll be in the kitchen. I thought that was very funny. And I guess even further, the plot of how this is all happening and what the tie is to Agent Harker.
Well, so I think before we do that, like, they catch Long Legs. Like, yeah. they catch him, and he then kills himself.
He bangs his head against a table until he's dead, yeah. He says, hail Satan, and bangs his head at a table.
Except, like, things aren't done yet, right? Like,
we know there's one
he's
more.
Saying, like, yeah, there's going to be another murder, and that's when, Agent Harker starts putting things together that, like, you know, some of her memory is holed off. Like, she doesn't remember everything. And also, her mom is a fucking weirdo, like, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so she, like, kind of guesses that her mom is involved somehow.
And it's really great when they go to the mom's house, too. Like, another detective, not her partner, but another detective comes with, you know, just decides to come with her. She's sitting out in the car. Agent Harker, Michael Monroe, goes in the house, and she's like, look at her mom. And then she sees out the window her mom shooting the lady in the car, just, like, blowing her away. I was like, holy shit. Really cool. Yeah, and so then you find out that her mom has been in cahoots with fucking Long Legs the whole time, back since she was like a little girl. Like, when he came up to her house that day, he gave them a choice.
Back to that opening scene, yeah.
Yeah. And the choice was like, you know, you guys could be my victims, or you could work for me and do the work of Satan. And so, like, basically the mom, he gets the mom to pose as like a nun, and she goes to these church-going houses with a doll saying that they won it from the church, and that's how he gets the evil inside their house. And as I could figure it, like, I was like, after I finished watching the movie, I was like, why does he need the mom? And the only thing I could figure is because he's so fucking weird looking that nobody would let this house.
That's exactly it, right? Like, he is an absolute, like,
he looks like a monster freak. So, yeah,
Yeah, I would agree with that. There's a funny scene where he goes to the fucking, he goes to, like, the convenience store, the pharmacy, and there's, like, a girl at the counter.
That's the director's, like, daughter, by the way.
Yeah. And she's just like, the weird guy is here again. Like, and, like, that's when you really get to see, you know, Nicolas Cage as Long Legs, and it's like, yeah, he cannot go knocking door to door. People will be like, you're not from the church. You're literally from the depths of hell. Like,
yeah.
So he brings Ruth in to, not Ruth. He brings the mom in to do it. It is Ruth. Her name's Ruth. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, the scene where he goes in that convenience store, and she's like, "Dad, this weird guy's in here." It cuts right to him in the car after that, and he's
dying. Yeah.
Like, Nicolas Cage going, like, to 11, and again, it's just such a little bit amount of it that's so creepy. Like, if they let the scene go on, it would become silly, but, like, it's just the right amount. But him freaking out in the car was just awesome, dude. Even on second watch, I was like, oh my God.
If they let it go a little bit longer, it then becomes, like, Nicolas Cage in weird makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Like, doing Nicolas Cage things. Instead, because they use it so reserved, it just comes off as super unsettling.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Cage's performance is great in it too because of that. Like, yeah, I don't know. You know, I kind of sums it up, I guess. You know, we got the big ending with the family, and I think she stops it. She kills her partner, right? So that he couldn't kill his daughter. Yeah, she's right there on that note too.
He's the FBI, like, he's the head. He's her boss, so she kills him.
Yeah,
and then she
murdering his daughter.
Yeah, and then she ends up having to kill her mom too. But she can't destroy the doll.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love this, man. I bought it when it came out because I knew we were doing it. I wanted to be a little more refreshed on it. I thought it was great in theaters. I thought it was great on rewatch.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's fantastic.
This director's for me, man. Like, you should at least check out The Black Coat's Daughter. Like I said, it's almost like a sister movie to this one. It's cool. Okay. This, I think, is his best movie. And did you see he's doing a Stephen King movie next?
Looks like he's doing like a version of Monkey Shines or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah, I'm in for whatever. I really, really enjoy this guy. And this is, he's like, it's just like combining everything you know, I love like a your standard serial killer movie, and this is, it has elements of that, right? But it's definitely in the end not that. It is way more crazy horror shit, and I don't know. I love all the flavors here, all blended together. It just really worked for me.
Yes, same for me. I think like I enjoy a good like, you know, detective story, procedural.
Yeah.
I think that the investigation she does is really interesting. Like, you know, and we're getting the evidence as she's putting it together. She's kind of talking us through it as she's piecing things together. But, you know, she doesn't piece it all together right until the very end. And that's when everything kind of like, oh, this is all Satan. And it's really neat. Like, it ties together things I really like. So, yeah, I really, really enjoyed this one. And it's currently my favorite film of 2024. So,
oh wow,
yeah, I'm very big on this one.
You liked it. You liked it better than Strange Darling, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so close between those two, but I have movies I like more than both of them. But this is easily in my top five.
Score? Yeah, I'm gonna go 9 out of 10 here.
Oh wow. Hell yeah.
An 8.
I really love it. I don't have anything really bad to say about it, but it just kind of lands at an 8 for me.
All right.
Man, I think it's now pretty available. Cool. Oh, yeah, yeah. The winner here is Long Legs.
Yeah.
Because it went up against one of the best films of the 21st century, and it won easily for
totally,
us.
Totally, yeah.
yeah. Yeah, and I guess I'm going to say it is available now, digital rental or purchase. I highly recommend picking it up. I enjoyed watching it a second. Well, I guess that ends. We got it done. We did it done in like an hour. Hell yeah.
Yeah, we did pretty quick this time out.
for all the things we had to talk about, we went quick. What are we doing for the next episode?
So for the next episode, I had something else in mind for I was kind of like really feeling Alien earlier in the month, but since we've kind of delayed a little bit, I'm going to circle back on something we did last year, and, it's going to push our recording to like the second week of October, but, we're going to watch VHS Beyond. And okay. Another anthology series called 1031. So a Halloween anthology, and that one is available on Tubi and, you know, a bunch of other places. 1031 and VHS Beyond comes out October 4th on Shudder. So
okay,
give it a go. I think these will be fun, and I enjoy the VHS series. I think you do, yeah. Too. So yeah. I don't know much about 1031. It does have two sequels.
Wow.
We'll see there, but at the very least, VHS has, it rarely does me wrong. So.
All right. Yeah, I enjoy them. It'll be fun.
All right.
Unless we're coming for you, we'll try to get out there early-ish October. We got to wait for the movie to come out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I didn't think we were probably going to be recording that week anyway. So if we watch it, you know, when it comes out, we can record the week after and get this relatively quickly.
So, all right.
We're only a few weeks away.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like we said, we'll try to get that out. Sounds good. We will see you then. Thanks for listening.